Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Broadcasting live from Los Angeles tonight and all week long. Hope you will join us. Mike will return next week. We've got, I want to mention, our chat room is open at BradBlog.com. Excuse me. You can join us there. You can also call us at 877-520-1150. I'm going to leave the entire third hour of the show open for your calls. But if you have any questions for Judge Vic Rawl, he will be joining us momentarily from South Carolina. He is the candidate who is said to have lost. Said to have lost? Said to have lost to Alvin Green, the candidate nobody ever heard of out there for the U.S. Senate race in South Carolina a few weeks ago. When I say said to have lost, I mean said by the ESNS voting machine company. Because the election was run on 100% unverifiable voting systems. There is no evidence that even a single vote cast on election day on those ESNS touchscreen machines, no evidence that even a single vote was recorded accurately as per the voter's intent. Now, these machines, these ESNS machines, are notoriously terrible. They fail time and time again in state after state, and yet we continue to use them. Why? I don't know. I'll ask Judge Rawl in a little bit, but he's going to be joining us shortly. But let me just give you a quick idea of some of the failures of these of this ESNS Ivotronic machine. It's probably, by the way, used in your state. And you can go to verifiedvoting.org. They've got something called the Verifier. It's actually verifiedvoting.org/verifier. And find out if ESNS machines are used in your state. They probably are, because they are the world's largest voting machine company. And their machines are crap. Let's see. Here's just some examples. Faulkner County, Arkansas. Though the ESNS Ivotronics were said to have worked to perfection during testing and early voting in 2008, a number of election outcomes in local primaries had to be reversed after it was discovered that the internal numbers didn't match with the system's paper trails, quote-unquote. The county election commissioner said the failure should not have been possible. In 2006, you may remember, the special election for the U.S. House between Vern Buchanan and Christine Jennings, that was where they used the ESNS Ivotronic touchscreens, the same ones they're using up there in South Carolina, where 18,000 votes disappeared in that election on the ESNS Ivotronics in Sarasota. This was to replace Catherine... I've forgotten her name. The Secretary of State of Florida from 2000. This was to replace her, whatever her name is. Apparently, I wanted to forget it. Anyway, 18,000 votes disappeared in a race that was ultimately decided by just 369 votes. Okay? Nobody to this day can explain where they went. There is speculation, but you can't explain it. We don't know it for sure, in large part because these voting machines are not allowed. You know, nobody can examine these machines. They did get some computer scientists who were able to look at the machines in 2006, given the importance of this race. But they didn't come out with any answer. They had some ideas, some guesses, some whatever, and yet they still use the machines. Now, to Florida's credit and to Charlie Crist's credit, the governor, he was the incoming governor at the time. He was a Republican at the time. He took the opportunity to get rid of the damn machines, for the most part, in Florida, and go to paper ballots. Yes, the paper ballots are counted by machines as well, but hey, we're getting there, one step at a time. Okay, that was Sarasota County. Monroe County, Arkansas. Just a few weeks ago, on May 18th, covered at BradBlog and nowhere else, thousands of votes were reported on election night and then promptly disappeared after the U.S. Senate primary in Monroe County, Arkansas. I spoke with state officials, both state and local officials. They haven't been able to explain why thousands of votes simply disappeared. They were there on election night on the Secretary of State's website. They were gone a few days later. They are still gone. There is still no explanation. Again, ESNS Ivotronic touchscreen voting used in large part across Monroe County. Clay County, Kentucky. Six high-ranking election officials, including the county clerk, a circuit court judge, and the school superintendent, were found guilty this year of federal election fraud after it was found that they had been buying and selling votes for decades, but most recently, in 06, had drafted conspirators to change their registration from R to D in order to work at the polls and change the votes of voters on ESNS Ivotronic touchscreens after the voter had left the voting booth. It's not really a booth, but you get the idea. They would actually go in and change the votes on the touchscreen systems, the ESNS Ivotronic touchscreen systems, the same ones that were used in South Carolina to elect Alvin Green, a candidate that nobody ever heard of, who did no campaigning, who had no campaign website, who has no job, who has no computer, who has no cell phone, who didn't spend a day out on the stump. Somehow he defeated Judge Vic Roll 59 to 41%. Yeah, that's likely. Again, ESNS in Pottawatomie County, Iowa. The results of a number of races in the 2006 GOP Republican primary were overturned after a hand count of the paper ballots they had, luckily, was ordered by the county clerk when he noticed that a young college student that no one had ever heard of had defeated a longtime incumbent in one of the races. Sounds kind of like South Carolina, doesn't it? The hand count revealed that a number of those who thought they'd lost had actually won, and those who thought they'd won had actually lost. L.A. County, California, in the statewide 2008 primary, in June of 2008, on the ESNS IncaVote Plus systems, the electronic ballot marking device misprinted four of my own votes. Four out of 12 of my own votes were misprinted on the L.A. County ESNS electronic voting system. This was this particular one was made largely for blind and disabled voters, largely blind voters, because it's an audio ballot system, and it misprinted 4 out of 12 of my votes. I know this because I'm not blind, because when it printed out, I was able to read it, and I was able to check that, in fact, it misprinted 4 out of 12 of my votes. The L.A. County Registrar confirmed, in fact, what had happened, claims that it had been, that the poll worker had miskeyed in the number of my for my precinct. But 2 years later, in June of this year, I went back to the same polling place, and two different machines did the same thing when I tried to vote on them. Eventually, I had to vote with the paper ballot manually. The registrar says, oh, it's the same problem. It happened again. But it happened only to you, Brad. So, no worries. Just because here we are in Los Angeles, largest voting jurisdiction in the nation, it only happened to you, Brad. Okay. That registrar, Dean Logan, will hopefully be joining us tomorrow night to discuss what happened and what will happen in the future. Now, I could go on and on. Reports of touchscreen vote flipping in Palo Pinto County, Texas, Berkeley County, West Virginia, both of those in 08, Jackson and Putnam counties, West Virginia, in 08. You can actually see this happen. We've got video at Brad Blog showing the county clerk demonstrating how he had fixed the machine that had been flipping votes, and then it flips right on the camera, on the videotape, as he's demonstrating how it works great. And yet we still use these voting machines. Davidson County, Tennessee, that's Nashville, in 2008. Election integrity filmmaker Patricia Earnhardt, filmmaker of Uncounted, The New Math of American Elections, which, disclosure, I happen to be in. Her vote, she couldn't get it to register for, I believe it was, Barack Obama. And when the poll worker finally came over to try to help her, he was trying to get it to be selected for Obama, and it chose Cynthia McKinney instead. Again, right in front of her eyes. And yet, we continue to use this crap. And it is this crap that has apparently elected Alvin Green to be the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate to run against Jim DeMint this fall in South Carolina. The man who Alvin Green is said to have beaten is Vic Rawl, Judge Vic Rawl. He will join us momentarily. And, oh, yeah, by the way, thanks, Des. Catherine Harris was the Secretary of State in Florida in 2000, the one whose seat was then being filled in the U.S. House in that special race where 18,000 votes disappeared. No one still knows where they are. And I'm the conspiracy theorist? What the hell? Tony, I didn't even get to half the things on this list. Don't you think we should be able to verify our votes? Don't you think the citizens ought to be able to know that their votes have been counted and recorded accurately? Is that too much to ask? Does that make me a conspiracy theorist? I will be joined momentarily by conspiracy theorist Judge Vic Rawl, live from South Carolina, to discuss his election and what the hell he's going to do from here now that the Democratic Party has said, yeah, we agree. Alvin Green won. Really? Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
No, you won't. You can try. It is worth fighting for, and we are joined now by a man who took the unusual step of actually fighting for all of our votes. Judge Vic Rawl was elected to the South Carolina House of Representatives four times, serving from 77 to 78 for a total of 8 years. He then served on South Carolina's Workers' Compensation Commission from 86 to 90, served as a circuit court judge from 91 to 2003, came out of retirement in 2008 to be elected to the Charleston City County Council in South Carolina. He was recently a candidate for the Democratic Party's nomination to the U.S. Senate before being almost inexplicably, and almost is a kind word here, almost inexplicably bested, according to the 100% unverifiable ESNS electronic voting system used in the state, by Alvin Green, an unemployed military vet with no campaign website, no campaign appearances, no computer, not even a cell phone. Green's victory was upheld the week before last, despite a five-hour protest hearing that Rawl held before the state's Democratic Party Executive Board when he argued in no uncertain terms that the reported loss could only be explained by a failure in the state's ESNS voting system. Judge Rawl, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy program.
Thank you very much, Brad.
I'm delighted to have you, and I'm delighted that you stood up and fought. We've seen so many elections where we have issues, you know, very much like yours, maybe not quite as blatantly obvious and questionable, but where Democratic candidates and sometimes Republican candidates, but where they are afraid of being seen as a conspiracy theorist, a crazy guy, a tinfoil hat wearer, and so they don't even fight the fight. They don't even bring up the point that these machines are unverifiable and often failed. Why did you decide to suffer all of those slings and arrows, Judge?
Well, I'll start out by saying that my age, which is 64, I'm bulletproof. I've got rhinoceros skin, and it's too late to send me to Vietnam. When we saw the returns coming in and compared them to the other two candidates on the statewide Democratic primary ticket, we realized that something was going extremely wrong. No idea who Alvin Green was, never heard from him, never saw him, never saw anything about him. And when it happened, the next thing we knew the next morning, which was Wednesday morning, was that he apparently was also facing a charge, which I think is probably closest akin to internet porn.
Right.
We basically went into what happened mode And as a result of that, through your blog and other experts, the League of Women Voters in Charleston County in the state of South Carolina had put on a symposium on this machine in 2008, which I attended.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't remember it that well until after it bit me, but I certainly remembered it thereafter. And we put together a presentation, and the difficulties are blatantly obvious. We had Republican runoffs. We had a couple of Democratic runoffs. The machines had to be wiped and ready to go again in 2 weeks for the runoffs. We basically had 10 days in which to put together a credible protest to the election. And I think we did a pretty good job of doing that credible protest. The problem, of course, is that South Carolina election law says that if you're going to protest successfully, you've got to be able to show that the number of votes that you separated you and your opponent could be overcome by individuals whose votes had been tampered with. The unique thing about that is that with an election with a 30,000 vote difference, the only way to do that was to try to utilize the expertise available, both academic, statistically, politically science, historically on political science basis,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, computer science, to show that these machines historically are bad. Number two.
Hold on. Actually, hold the thought, because I got to get to a quick break. We'll have a big block after this break. Speaking with Judge Vic Rawl out of South Carolina about what went wrong in the U.S. Senate race that elected a man who nobody has ever heard of. We'll get details on his protest, what's wrong with those machines, much more with Vic Rawl right after this. Maybe one day, unbelievable that we have to fight for democracy in our democracy. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, Brad of BradBlog.com, speaking with Judge Vic Rawl from South Carolina, who we are informed by the unverifiable, 100% unverifiable ESNS voting system that they use across the entire state, lost somehow to Alvin Green in the recent U.S. Senate primary, Democratic U.S. Senate primary. Alvin Green, the man that no one has ever heard of, versus Vic Rawl. Okay, Judge, so you hold a protest hearing, you file a protest, you had a five-hour hearing. I was able to watch the whole thing, by the way. Great job. Was able to watch the whole thing streaming on the web. Briefly give us the summary of the case that you made, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Well, the summary was pretty clear. We put up a statistician to show that statistically the outcome was impossible, or at least a one percenter. We put up a political scientist to testify historically that this could not happen. And we put up a computer science people, or actually a computer science person who was speaking on behalf of more than one person, indicating that, of course, the machine could be hacked, or it could have its memory faulty in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from flipping the entire vote to one for four or any combination thereof.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is that from a legal standpoint, when you go before the executive committee, it's just like going before the South Carolina Election Commission. You have to prove the numbers of people that are different. And from a legal situation in South Carolina, that normally requires a number of people to stand up and testify that their votes were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, 30,000, that was impossible. Now, in some respects, it's the law not catching up with reality.
Well, Judge, if I can break in here, it's impossible because there's no way for, even if you had the time to bring in 30,000 people, there's no way that any one of those 30,000 could know if their vote was counted correctly or at all, correct?
That is exactly correct, Brad. And let me follow up on the legal thing and conclude, and then obviously we can chat about it. The legal requirement, as I told you, is showing the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is that when you look at the law, it's taken forever for DNA evidence to come into effect, and DNA evidence is never 100,000% accurate.
Right.
It's always 1 in 10 billion or 10 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I will also suggest to you and your audience that there are people on death row in this country that have been convicted of a crime in which no body was ever found, nor was the murder weapon found. Now, in those sorts of circumstances, you have to be able to put up evidence that gives rise to the conclusion that you're bringing forward.
Right.
And we did that. We did that. And the bottom line is the executive committee looked at it from a standpoint of succinct and specific smoking gun evidence,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, in a 10-day period of time, without access to the machines, and, of course, a lot of this is proprietary from the standpoint of the computer software from ES&S. So even if we could have gotten into it, there's extreme difficulty if we'd have been able to get it and determine what exactly and specifically happened.
Well, now this is one of the issues here is of those people who voted on the voting machines, and by the way, we have yet to note here that there was an 11-point disparity between the paper ballots, the absentee paper ballots that were cast versus the election day votes that were cast on these voting machines. Now, on these voting machines, they're touchscreen machines. There's no evidence of how people actually voted. No way to verify that. But at least you can get to the memory cards, the internals of the machines, if you are allowed, if you can afford the computer scientists to do it, if you're allowed by the state, and then finally, if you're allowed by the private voting machine companies. The idea that this is proprietary information, Judge, Your Honor, that you're not allowed to get to examine to determine whether you won or lost an election, a public election, seems to me to be insane.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I'll go one step further. In South Carolina, we have a recount law.
Right.
Well, of course, how do you recount when you are simply looking at the paper reflection of the internal machinery?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there is no way you can recount a ballot in South Carolina except, of course, the paper ballots that are absentee early ballots.
So those
are the only paper ones you have.
Well, that's right. So you can re-push the button again. You'll get the same results. But to prove that there was a problem with the machine in 10 days before they delete the information forever for these Democratic runoffs, actually Republican and Democratic runoffs that were being held 10 days later, it's impossible. So you bring this case, and it was a compelling case that you presented to the executive board of the state Democratic Party. I thought to myself, well, you know, this is a slam dunk case. He's, you know, you can't prove that you would have won the race, but Alvin Green can't prove that he won the race. And, oh, by the way, Alvin Green didn't even bother to show up, didn't send a representative. The only evidence that was presented at that hearing, Judge Rawl, was the evidence you presented to say that this could not have possibly been accurate. And yet, the executive committee at some point voted to go into executive session. They turned off the cameras. They went behind closed doors. And then they came out, did their final deliberations, and rejected your protest. Do you have any idea, in talking to people, what they were thinking, why they rejected the compelling evidence that you put forward about this election?
I've got some information. I don't have it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the information that I have is mostly legal from the standpoint of they did not believe that we had proven it sufficiently to suit their standard. And that standard, of course, is by the greater weight of preponderance of the evidence more likely than not. But the people involved in the decision-making process simply did not feel we could meet that standard. There are a lot of other things I could go into, but it's not really a Democratic Party fight. I mean, we gave them the opportunity to make a decision. They made a decision. That decision, whether rightly or wrongly, depending upon whose point of view, is very interesting. But, of course, to appeal that decision would have been almost impossible from a legal standpoint to go further.
Would you?
To overturn them.
Yeah.
We would have had to show that there was no substantial evidence upon which they based their decision. And when you're talking about substantial evidence, they simply didn't accept ours. And if they didn't accept it, how do you appeal it?
Well, your attorney made the argument that they had to make their decision based on the evidence that they were presented in the hearing. The only evidence presented at the hearing was that the election was not recorded accurately, either by malfunction or malfeasance on these voting machines. How can it be then that they could decide that it was recorded accurately?
You're asking me to prove the unprovable.
They were asking you, Judge, to prove the unprovable. That's the problem here, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely correct. But like I say, the only thing we could do is tee it up. We can't hit the ball for them. And we did tee it up, and we gave them everything we could possibly give them within the period of time available and within the resources, not just the monetary resources, but the ability to get access to the cards, the internal mechanisms, the computer, the software, and all the rest of it, which, of course, was extremely limited. So we gave them everything we could give them. And there's a history on this machine that you know as well as I do. And, you know, it's only been banned in 26 states, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, something like that.
But suffice it to say, we have serious problems in South Carolina. And I have been accused of castigating or calling into question a legitimate election. And I would beg to differ. I'm calling into question whether or not the machinery we have for voting in South Carolina, in fact, is promoting democracy or, in fact, stealing democracy.
I have been offering this, asking this question, offering this challenge. I'll repeat it again tonight. I will offer the challenge to anybody in South Carolina who ran that election on the State Election Commission, on any of at any of the counties, at ESNS, anywhere in the state, in the country, in the world. I will ask them to give me evidence that even one vote was recorded accurately for or against Alvin Green or Vic Raul in that U.S. Senate race on Election Day on those touchscreen machines. Any evidence. One vote. And the fact that we're running an election system like this, Judge, the fact that, frankly, that you were a judge, I spotted right away and I said, oh, this is good. Because he understands what constitutes evidence. And we have no evidence. And, you know, were you aware of this before the election, that this was the type of election system that was being used in South Carolina and all across the country, really?
I was aware of it, but it didn't really register, to be honest with you, because I had not had personal experience with the machines malfunctioning before. Now, obviously, South Carolina has apparently had problems in 2008 and 2006 in certain areas, but not at this magnitude.
It seems like too many candidates don't understand. I've been yelling and screaming about it for years. Don't understand the concerns about election integrity. And I'm talking about Democrats who don't get it. A lot of progressives who don't get it until their ox is gored. Pun intended. All right, we're speaking with Judge Vic Raul. We're going to take a quick break here shortly. Come back, ask him where to from here. Will he run as an independent? Or if not, who the hell is he going to vote for this November? All of that and more. Your calls as well. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
I believe in the freedom zone, and I'll choose my own destiny.
Reform. Oh, yeah. Election reform. I'm talking about going to bradblog.com. That's what I recommend.
Good recommendation, Shannon Wilford. That's Delicious Blues Stew, and I am Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, speaking with Judge Vic Rall from South Carolina. Our final segment here, we will take your calls, and the entire next hour is open, so you can get in now if you want. If you dare, 877-520-1150. Judge Rall, of course, was announced the loser. I hate to even use that word here. The loser to Alvin Green in the U.S. Senate primary in South Carolina, the man that nobody ever heard of, somehow managed to win on these ESNS Ivotronic voting machines, which are 100% unverifiable, but my challenge still open. I'll take evidence that any vote was recorded accurately on them during this or any other election in which they were used. Judge, so you decided to not appeal this case. Why? Because there's just no evidence, nothing to get at this point?
No, it's not that there's no evidence. It's just the standard is that you would have to show that the executive committee did not have substantial evidence to support their position. And in this particular circumstance, they simply did not believe my evidence. So if that's the case, what is the basis of your appeal? None.
Having said that,
let me give a couple of more things, because I think your listeners are entitled to it.
Good.
On the blogosphere, I have been accused of not campaigning, which I think is rather disingenuous to the 1,000 volunteers that made phone calls, posters, meet and greets all over the state, to the 26 county conventions that I attended, to the state convention that I attended, to the 80 different speaking engagements that I had, to the 17,000 miles I put on the car in South Carolina driving to different events all over the state. Remembering this is a Democratic primary, this is not a general election, remembering that I was running against a complete ghost who never showed up to anything, how do you do that? Where do you put radio or television or banners or signs or whatever do you do when you're running against somebody that you've never seen or heard of?
There is no evidence that he ever campaigned anywhere at all.
Absolutely correct.
And by the way, let me get in here, Judge, that I have invited, I've sent an invite to Alvin Green. I would love to have him on the show. I would love to ask him some questions. I have nothing against him. I very much, if he happens to be listening tonight or to the archives that we will post late night tonight at bradblog.com, Alvin Green, send me a letter. I'd love to hear from you. And you can use the library computer, probably, brad@bradblog.com. I would love to have you on to get your side of this. Anyway, I interrupted you, sir.
Well, I want to make certain that this is not me versus Alvin Green at this point in time. Alvin Green is the Democratic nominee for South Carolina's U.S. senatorial campaign against Jim DeMint. My intent was always to run against Jim DeMint. And I think all of your audience has heard of him. All of your audience knows what he does or doesn't do. And those of us in South Carolina that pay attention to and care about South Carolina also know that the past 5 years in South Carolina has been rather horrendous. Just look at the Jon Stewart show sometime. I think that he probably was the one behind all this for fear he'd lose his material. But having said that, in this one event, whether it is contrived, whether it's an accident, no matter what it is, all of the prior 5 years of shenanigans in South Carolina have been turned around because instead of having a compatible statewide slate of candidates to include congressional candidates, now South Carolina does not have a viable active candidate against DeMint, nor do we have a viable active candidate in the 1st Congressional District, which, of course, changes the demographics of the political spectra for the general elections in November.
And let me note here that there was a petition drive to get Democrat Linda Kettner to run, but on Monday of this week she announced she will not accept a petition nomination to appear on the ballot. As well today, a press release from Tom Clements of the Green Party in U.S. Senate. You can get more information at ClementsForSenate.com. He says he is running. He believes he is a viable candidate. But in the we don't even have a minute left here, Judge Vic Rawl.
I really can't talk to that so much. You're going to have third party candidates. There's no question about that.
Who will you be voting for? I only got 15 seconds before I got to get out of here.
I will vote for anybody but Jim DeMint.
So you will vote for Alvin Green if he is indeed on the ballot this November?
I may very well vote for Alvin Green, especially if it's Alvin Green versus Jim DeMint.
Is there any chance that anything can change concerning his felony conviction that he might have to leave the ballot? Would you come on if that was the case?
I'll cross that bridge when I get there. It would be very, very difficult since my entire campaign has been shut down completely to include funding and staffing.
I'll help you, sir. I'll give you some publicity. Judge Rawl, thank you very much for fighting the fight out there. Please keep it up, and please let me know how I can help you fight for our democracy, sir.
Thank you so much, Brad. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, sir. Judge Vic Rawl. Okay, open phones coming up next. Anything you want to talk about, got some folks online, I will hit you guys as well. 877-520-1150. We'll be back.